Normally I give this shiur for an hour, but I have to run to an eye doctor's appointment, so I apologize. It'll probably be about a half hour, more like a half hour than an hour. And what we've been discussing until now, Yehuda, you aren't here, so I just wanted to clue you in, is that one of the fundamental methods of brisk is what we call din klali din mesuyam. Are you familiar with that?
Misuyam,
which means universal and specific.
Okay.
In other words, in every case of a halacha, we have to see the halacha in a broader perspective. And we need to know whether or not that particular din or that particular halacha is local, it's specific, it applies only in that context, or it belongs to a broader context. And we gave the example of ksiva, like for example, there's halacha of lishma in ksiva saget. Does that apply to all shtaris, or is that only in get? If it applies to all shtaris, then it's a universal halacha, then every document requires ksiva lishma. If it's halacha misuyemes, then it only applies to get, because of lo lishma. And what we pointed out was that as a general rule, if you see a Gzeiras HaKosev, if the Gemara... I think Alan's sitting over there, so you have two seats here. If you see that the Gemara derives a particular halacha from a pasuk,
okay,
that's proof positive that you're speaking about a halacha mesuyemis, a din mesuyam.
Okay.
Because if it belongs to the universal rule, then there's no need to quote a pasuk.
Okay.
Then we spoke about the case of lishma. We said that lishma get is a specific halacha that doesn't apply to other shtaris, so din mesuyam. But how does it compare to writing in, let's say, Sefer Torah? For example, a Sefer Torah has to be written l'shem Hashem, l'shem Sefer. So there's a din of lishma. Is the din of lishma in the case of Sefer Torah a universal halacha and it applies just like the lishma in get? Which means that a guy, for example, would be excluded if he writes the Sefer Torah. And then we got more specific to the case of Azkarah, so writing the Shem Hashem. We wanted to know, is that requirement to Lishma a unique halacha? Now, what I'd like to talk to you about today, because we're learning Masechet Shabbos this year, is Hilchos Shabbos. We have in Hilchos Shabbos an ongoing chakira that almost wherever you turn in Masechet Shabbos, you always have to raise the following question. When you see a din in Masechet Shabbos, and that din sets up conditions, when are you going to be chayev and when you're not going to be chayev? Are those universal requirements, and Shabbos is just another example of applying the universal rule, or is it a unique Shabbos rule? Take, for example, we have halacha that you're not chayev misa for mezid unless there was edim and asra. And with regard to Shabbos, you're not chayev for violating Melech Shabbos, the chiyuv is skila, unless there were edim and asra. From that perspective, we're talking about a halacha klolis, a universal halacha. We're just applying the general rule of edim and asra to Shabbos and to the chiyuv misa in the case of Shabbos. On the other hand, there are certain requirements and conditions that seem at the face of it to be unique to Melech HaShabbos, and they don't apply beyond the four walls of Melech HaShabbos. That makes it a din mesuyam. In general, we could say that those conditions and restrictions that apply uniquely as a din mesuyam in Shabbos emanate from one overarching principle that we spend a lot of time on in the last 6 months or so. Anybody know what I have in mind? Lech Shabbos, exactly. And we can give a list of many, many different cases where you're potter in Shabbos, even though you did the melacha deliberately, because it was not melechas machsheves. Rashi indicates, not in Shabbos, but in Masechet Beitzah, that melechas machsheves means melechas umnus. It requires a very professional kind of work. And Rashi therefore says that although on the list of the 39 melachos, there's ma'amer. Ma'amer means to take things and put them into bales. But in the case of vegetables, let's say, for example, I gather together vegetables and I put them all together in one basket, Rashi says that you're potter because it's not melechas machsheves, It's not a meleches umnus. You don't have to be a professional and be very specific about your motor coordination in order to achieve gathering together the onions and putting them into a basket. Any child could do that. But if you bale hay, for example, you have to do it in a very specific way. There are professionals who are hail balers. I just made that up. It didn't make sense. But anyway, so that's called Meleches Ma'amer, and you're chayav for baling hay. For example, we have in Hilchos Shabbos a p'tur that's called Melacha Sheina Tzricha Legufa. I had full intention, it was definitely deliberate, I violated the Melacha, but I had a different purpose in mind. And Tosa says that you have to go back to the Mishkan. You know, when you determine Meleches, Machsheves and Shabbos, the paradigm is always the Mishkan. Why did they do that Melacha in the Mishkan? If you're doing it for a different purpose, that's called the Melacha Sheina Tzricha Legufa. Rav Shimon holds, and we paskin like Rav Shimon, that Melacha Sheina Tzricha Legufa is potter. It's not Meleches Machsheves. Now, in Kol HaTorah Kula, we don't find this halacha of Melacha Tzricha Legufa or Avera Tzricha Legufa. You know, I couldn't care less why a person commits a particular Avera, as long as he was deliberate about the Avera. He may have had other purposes in mind. We don't have to create a Meleches Machsheves. And this is going to have a tremendous implication in what we call Meleches Charisha. Meleches Charisha, which means furrows digging into the ground in order to prepare the ground by plowing it for seeding, was done in the Mishkan for the purpose of improving the ground, which is called Yibui Ara. What happens if I make a hole in the ground but I don't need any improvement in the ground? That's not my purpose at all. I need the dirt because I want to use the dirt for whatever purpose I need it. That's called Chofer Guma. The Ein Tzarech El Eliafer. He doesn't need the guma, the hole in the ground. He doesn't improve. He's not planning to plant anything. He's not a farmer. He needs the dirt. Can anybody think of an example of why a person needs dirt? Let's say he's creating a smooth surface and he has holes in it, so he adds the dirt. But he's not creating. He's on the couch. He's not creating holes. He wants to fill in the holes.
Safety shafting and West cover up the job.
So in such a... Yeah, David?
He's been masonry and wants to make a step on his property or make a platform.
Correct. He needs dirt to make a platform. He needs a dirt... Let's say he's putting out a fire. So, you know, smoking the bear tells you you can't just, you know, put out the fire. You got to put dirt over the fire. Make sure it's totally extinguished. It's very dangerous. But he has no need whatsoever in the Guma. The Gemara says that according to Rav Shimon, he's potter on Shabbos. It's not Meleches Charisha. What do you mean, not Meleches Charisha? If a farmer comes along, this is great. There's a hole in the ground. He's just going to put the seed in the ground and fire to Gamaisa. He's very happy. But this person is not interested in sowing and seeding. He's interested in taking the dirt out. So Reb Shimon says, in such a case, it's Meleches Sheina Tzricha Legufa. So now I have to ask you, what would be in other areas of halacha which prohibit Charisha? I'll give you two examples. Shviz, on the seventh year of the cycle, you're not allowed to plow the ground. Charisha is one of the Torah violations in Shviz. What would be if a person plows the ground on Shviz, but he doesn't need the holes, the furrows in the ground, he has no intention whatsoever of planting, he needs the dirt. Chofer Guma, V'ein Tzarech, El Yafra, or for example, Kilayim. Kilayim also, you're not allowed to do a Charisha and put in two seeds. And if you have a sod, let's say, there's also something called Nachal Eson, which again, I don't want to get to, but there's universal Charisha, which in many cases the Torah prohibits. So if you're talking about Shabbos, I understand that if he doesn't have the Tzorech for the preparation of the ground for planting, that's not called a Melech HaTzricha Legufa, and therefore it's not Meleches Machsheves. But in the cases that we mentioned before, Kelayim and Shvius and other cases, who cares what his purpose is? He has a deliberate intention to make a hole in the ground. He should be chayav for that. Or do we say no? That maybe this halacha of Charisha is a universal halacha. It's not a p'tur of melechas machsheves. It means that he's not creating holes unless he needs the holes. And if he doesn't need the holes, that's not called making holes. And whenever the Torah says making holes in the ground, furrows in the ground, is also, like in Kelayim and Shviyas, it's conditional on the fact that he is preparing the ground for planting. Here's another example. In Hilchos Shabbos, something fundamental, it's called Kelachar Yad, otherwise known as Shinui. What does it mean? Instead of writing two letters, which is one of the third, he with his right hand, he's a righty, he writes it with his left hand. So to our surprise, the Gemara says on Daf Kuf Gimel of Masechta Shabbos that he's Potter. Imagine, he writes two letters on Shabbos, deliberately, he got Edim, Hasra, whatever you want, and he's Potter. So the Rishonim want to know, why is he Potter? Just because he wrote with his left hand. And of course they invoke the principle of Meleches Machsheves. What does that tell you about the act of Ksiva per se as an abstract universal concept of Ksiva? A man writes a get, the Torah says, because of law, and he writes it with his left hand. Is the get going to be kosher or is it going to be posel? Was there a Ksiva or was not a Ksiva? He's a writing, he wrote it with his left hand. The very fact that the Rishonim invoked the principle of Meleches Machsheves to explain and justify the halacha that Kasav Yatzmo Patur means that it's what kind of halacha? It's a din mesuyam. It's not a din kloli, but it's a din miyuchad, a din mesuyam. It's a Shabbos halacha. Because we don't have a p'tur of Meleches Machsheves elsewhere. So, for example, if a person would write a Sefer Torah with his left hand, would the Sefer Torah be kosher? Is that qualifies Ksiva? What would be your answer? Yes, because the din in Shabbos is a din misuyam. It's a specific halacha. It doesn't define Ksiva as an abstract, universal concept. Ksiva could be v'yamin, could be v'smal. For my purpose, let him stand on his head and write. Let him write with a pen between his toes. There was a famous movie. What was it called?
My Left Foot. My Left Foot.
My Left Foot, that was cool. Yeah, and he was able to write.
They have all these painters in Israel that put out these beautiful.
Oh, yeah. So, what I'm saying is that is Ksiva. I don't care how you get the Ksiva done. There's no din of Shinui, there's no din of Kalachar Yad outside the four walls of Meleches Shabbos. Because in Shabbos, the halacha is you got to do it in a certain way. It's Meleches Machsheves. There's got to be a Hashimus, it's got to be like a standard first class Ksiva that fills the normal ksiva as it was done in the Mishkan. Alan, did you want to say something?
Yeah, but what if he did that? That's fine for a regular Sefer Torah Stam. But what if he did this on part of it on Shabbos?
I don't know. Now you have an overlap of both Shabbos and
Ksiva. Right, so you have the same.
So aren't we going to say that since he's Chayev, I'm sorry, since he's part of Shabbos because he wrote with his left hand, Right. Therefore the Sefer Torah is possible? I don't know. There may be other halachas here called Mitzvah Boba Avera, you have to know. Oh, so here I want to share with you the insight of the Igle Tal. The Sukkot Shabbos. Yeah, he has a whole book on Shabbos. Again, he covers 9 halachas out of the 39. And in this book, he asks the following question. He says that if you look in Evin HaEzer, in Hilchos Gittin, the Ramah writes the L'chatchila, the Sofa should write the get with his right hand, if he's a right. And the Chelkas Machokek and the Beis Shmuel, were the super commentaries on Shulchan Aruch Evin Ezer, they both write, why does the Ramah write L'chatchila? Implying that we encourage and recommend the Sofa to write with his right hand, but if he wrote with his left hand, the get is kosher. So they both give the same answer. Because even though in Masechta Shabbos Kuf Gimel, the Gemara says that you're potter for writing with your left hand, that's because Meleches Machsheves Asrut Torah. But the Ksiva it is, even if you write with your left hand. And here I wanted to point out that we should take this Rogachova and compare it to another Rogachova. I'm sorry. Sukachova. Sorry. The Sukachova has a very important comment on Rashi in Perakira. And we're talking now about Bishul Bechama. This is solar energy, and a person puts an egg in the sun, and he cooks the egg. And the Gemara establishes that you are potter in such a case. In fact, it's pretty sensational. Here, you're not just potter, it's mutter. You're actually allowed to put the egg in the sun and have the sun cook the egg. On the pavement, the hot pavement, that's already called toldos hachama. That's a whole sugya in and of itself. So Rashi says something very strange. Rashi says, why is toldos hachama mutter? Rashi says, the lav derech bishol bekach. And the Sukkachar understands that Rashi is using the same principle that the Gemara applies to writing with your left hand to Bishul Bacham, meaning, just like the Gemara says that if you write with your left hand and you're writing, that's considered Shalom Kedarka, that's not the normal way. So too, Rashi understands that the normal way of cooking something is by putting it into the fire or putting it into a pot on the fire, but not to take something and bake it in the sun and cook it in the sun. That's unusual. So the Sukkachava says, wait a minute, is Rashi meaning to tell me that the Ptur of Chama and Shabbos in Bishul is because of Meleches Machsheves? Is Rashi telling me that in Kol HaTorah Kula you can achieve Bishul even in the sun? And this case is the exception to the rule? Can't be. Because the Gemara says in Psochim, with regard to the Iser Lav Da'oraisa being Mavashal Karban Pesach, that if he takes the Basar HaKarban and he cooks it in the sun, he's Patur. What do you see, says the Ragachava? It's not Bishon Kol Terkul. This is not a specific halacha of Melech Smachshevis in Shabbos. It's not a Din Misuim. It's a Din Kloli in Meleches Bishol, wherever the Torah talks about Bishol. And therefore, the Sukkachava concludes that if you were to take a pot and put milk and meat in the pot and cook it in the sun, you would not be chayav. And Rashi, by saying Shalom Kedarka, is throwing us off the proper track, because Rashi seems to imply that the unique halacha that in Shabbos you have to do it exactly the way everyone else does it, you know, you have to uniform with the standard uniform way, and therefore Shalom Kedarka in an unusual way you're potter because it's not Meleches Machshavos, doesn't live up to those standards, it's a unique Shabbos halacha. That's not true in the case of Bishul. In the case of Bishul Bachama, there's something qualitatively different about the nature of Bishul Bachama. And it's so radically different that it's not Bishul as far as Kol HaTorah Kula is concerned. And therefore, by the way, there's no Issur D'Rabbanan of Bishul Bachama, because the Rabbanan always prohibits something which is a Din Mesuyam and a Ptur of Meleches Machshavos, because the Rabbanan want to equate Kol HaTorah Kula with Shabbos. They don't want you to make mistakes and confuse the two. And therefore, says the Sukkachava, Chama is not Bishul. Qualitatively, it's a different kind of act. It's not Bishul. And therefore, that's a universal halacha. That's going to apply to Basar B'Challav, which is an Issur Bishul, apply to Pesach, or Pesach, which is an Issur Bishul, David?
I'm thinking the way you've taught us recently, you have the Maaser, the action of the sun, and you have the Hefzer, the egg. Is the egg not cooked? I mean, after,
very good. Excellent David. I'm very impressed. See, here the Sukkachava says the following. Remember that we spoke about ksiva, and we said that if you write a get with your left hand, then you would be machshir the get b'di'evet. Notice the get is valid, although that's not the recommended way of doing it. Says the Sukkachava, you know why? Because if a person is meticulous and slow at writing with his left hand, the observer will not know the difference. If I don't know whether you wrote with your right hand or your left hand, you could fool me, and the totsah is just as good. So that even though the mice is bishinu, the totsah is the same, and therefore, as far as get is concerned, all I care about is the final product, the totsah. However, in the case of Shabbos, the Torah puts emphasis not only on the totsah, but how did you get there, on the maisa. And the maisa of ksiva b'smol, even if you were able to fake me out, you didn't fake the edim out. They saw that you wrote with the left hand, and therefore shalom kedarka, you bought because of Meleches Machshavos. Says the Sukkachava, that even though Rashi has to admit that the concept called shalom kedarka, when you do something in an unusual way, is universal. And he quotes one Gemara after the other to prove that if you do something shalom kedaka, you're potur. Says the Sakat Shavuot, that's only true because the shalom kedaka changes the final product. There's something qualitatively different. He gives the following example. The Gemara says there are two ways of eating chalev. One way is cooking it, and the other way is eating it raw. Chalev is cooked, and then he ate it raw. So is the Gemara, he's potter. Why it's shalom kedaka? Says the Sakat Shavuot, the Avdinez, because in that case you're changing the very quality of the eating. The eating is not the same. What he's got in his belly is chalev chai. That's not good. He gives another example. Let's say you cook chalev, but before you let it cool off, you eat it while it's burning hot. You burn your throat. You put shalom kedaka. That's not the way you eat it. Says the Sakat Shavuot, that's a qualitative difference in terms of his hanos achila. He can't enjoy the achila if it's chum, if it's so hot. So here, Rabosai, I want to add another point that I heard once from the Rav. Rav Soloveitchik used to say that with regard to meleches kosher, well, one of the 39 meleches is kosher, which means nodding. That's spelled with a K, if I remember correctly. So there are two requirements in order to be chai for meleches kosher. One is called the kesher shal kayoma, and the other is called the kesher al gabi kesher. So let's explain. Kesher shal kayoma means that I have no intention to unfasten, or how would you say, to take apart a knot.
To untie
the knot. No intention. That's a double negative. No intention to untie the knot, meaning my intention is to leave the knot as is. Maybe a year from now I'll take it out. You know, there's a whole issue about galila at mincha time, because yeah. You know, when you do the tying of the chagora, how do you call it, the gartel, I don't know what you call it. The gartel, so that sefer Torah is usually used either only on Shabbos, so it's one Shabbos, or perhaps on Monday and Thursdays, and it's going to take Shabbos, Sunday, Monday until 3 days to go by. Maybe that's called a kesher shel kayom. So the answer is it's not a kesher shel kayom because your intention is to untie it, and that means it's not a kesher shel kayom. Is it enough? This is what the post can deal with. Is it enough that you intend to untie it 3 days from now? Maybe that's not called untying it. That's already a kesher shel kayom. But whatever it is, the requirement of kesher has to be kosher, kesher shel kayom. Another example. You need kesher al gabi kesher. We don't just make a half a knot. Half a knot is not a knot. You need a knot and then another knot. It means you pull it and then you add another knot. So Rav Soloveitchik used to say, listen to this, that these two requirements in meleches kosher are fundamentally different one than the other. One requirement, he says, is a din klali, and the other is a din mesuyam. And he proves that whenever the Torah requires a kesher, it's got to be kesher al gabi kesher. It doesn't have to be kesher shel kayoma. I can take your tefillin, which requires a kesher, and I can loosen the kesher and make it larger, because my head is bigger than yours, then return the tefillin to you, and we'll readjust it to make it fit your head, and if we'll take apart the kesher. That's called a kesher she'eino shel kayoma, says the Rav. That's kosher. That's okay in tefillin. I can borrow your tefillin, adjust the kesher, and again give it back to you. But it's got to be a kesher, I'll give you kesher. It's got to be a double knot. In other words, the halacha of kesher shel kayoma reflects the universe. Universal in all 39 malachas, but it's a din mesuyim and Shabbos. The halacha of meleches machshavos, that's called in the language of the Mishnah melacha hamiskayemes. In other words, I do it and I make it in a permanent way. It's got to be a kesher shel kayoma, otherwise it's not permanent. That's a Shabbos halacha. The fact that in kesher shel tefillin or in chalitza, I intend to take it out. Let's say there's only one nahal of chalitza, so you make a kesher to shorten it, and then for the next divama, you intend to take it out and make it wider because she has a bigger leg, a bigger foot. In such a case, it's kosher. That's called a kesher, even though it's not shel kayoma. The shel kayoma is reflective of Hilchos Shabbos called melacha miskayemes. That's called Malachas Machshavas because it's Miskayemis. But Kesher al Gabi Kesher, a double knot, that defines the very essence of what is Ksiva. In the case of Ksiva, going back to writing, left-hand writing doesn't define the essence of the Ksiva. We got to see the Ksav. But we don't care how you got to that point. And there is Ksiva even with your left hand. It's a Shabbos Halacha, Shalom Kedarka. In the case of Kesher, if you're talking about Kesher al Gabi Kesher, that defines a Kesher. A Kesher has to be a double knot. Halacha doesn't recognize and validate it less than a double knot. But if you're talking about Kayova, Kayova is a unique Halacha in Hilchos Shabbos.
If that's true, what you said in the very first part about cooking with the chama, then why isn't a dud shemesh good on Shabbos?
A dud shemesh? A dud shemesh is told us a chama. Told us a chama is a gzer d'rabbanan. There's told us ha'esh, which is doraisa, yeah. There's told us a chama, because we don't know, did it heat up because of a fire? Did it heat up because of the solar energy? We don't know, because what's heating your water is now the metal substance that's inside the dud. It's no longer the sun. You know, you've got hot water in the middle of the night, there's no sun. But the metal was heated up by the sun, that's called toldos hachama, and that's an isur d'rabbanan, gzera ata toldos
ha'or. But then it means that worse, it would only be an isur d'rabbanan.
I'm not sure. I don't know exactly how the dud works. I think, if I'm not mistaken, that some dud today also has an electric element to it.
Oh, that's beside, but that's true.
And the Chazon Ish is of the opinion, I'm not going to argue with him now, that Ish is, that the electricity is called Ish. I don't know.
But yeah,
maybe it's Boda, I don't know what it is.
You can turn the electricity part off, and that would only
right.
Turn the other part.
Right. So then you have to know, was it heated up before Shabbos, before you turned that electricity, very complicated business. Okay, Rabbi, so now we get to another case of Malechus Machshavas. Here's the case. A man is dragging benches or chairs. His interest is to get the chair from place A to place B. But inadvertently, he makes holes in the ground, which is called Malechus Harisha. Let's assume, for argument's sake, he's going to plant. That wasn't his motivation, but you know what? If the furrows are there and the indentations are there in the ground, why not plant? He's a farmer, he'll plant. But that's not my point. My point is that what interests him at this moment in time, why is he, instead of using a rake or a hoe, he is dragging his chairs through the ground?
He wants to get from point A to point B.
That's called what, Tarbosai?
Well, that's
Dovar She'eino Miskavin. Dovar She'eino Miskavin. So the Gemara says that you're potter. Why? Because if you're lacking kavana, your motivation, your intention was not to make charitza, but just to relocate the chair, that's a malacha without kavana, and you're potter. Satosvis wants to know the following. According to Rabbi Yehuda's Shita, Dover Sheinim is Kavin is Chayim. What's the case? A man is selling garments. He's a garment seller. Back in the day, what they used to do to transport the garments from place to place in order to sell them, like the peddlers, you know what I mean, a rochel, that in addition to the garments that he put on his wagon, but he runs out of space on his wagon, he wears the garments. And guess what? There's shatnez in the garments, and he's wearing shatnez. Now, why is he wearing shatnez? Is he interested in warming up his body with the begad shel shatnez? No. He's transporting the beged from one city to the other, from one town to the other. That's a dover shein of miskavin. The Gemara says that according to Rabbi Yehuda, he's chayiv. Because dover shein of miskavin is chayiv. So Tosa wants to know, if according to Rabbi Yehuda, dover shein of miskavin is chayiv, what's Rabbi Yehuda going to say about greiras kisei v'safsol when he drags the chair and he makes charitzim in the ground? Okay, he's not miskavin. Rabbi Yehuda, it's dover shein of miskavin is chayiv. So Tosa says something unbelievable. Tosa says that Dover Sheinim Miskavin is both a universal halacha and a din mesuyim at the same time. On a universal level, in terms of Kol Yisurei Torah, Rabbi Yehuda holds Dover Sheinim Miskavin is chayiv. But with regard to Shabbos, there's an additional condition of Kavana as a din mesuyim at Shabbos by virtue of Meleches Machshavos. And even Rabbi Yehuda will agree that Mutar Lo Ligrar Kisei V'Saps. The Gemara says actually Midrabban and Biyasa, but as far as the Doraisa level is concerned, even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that it's Mutar and it's not us. So the only Easter of Dov Sheni Miskaven on Shabbos is a Dirabbanan. According to Rabbi Shimon, Dover Shani Miskaven is Mutter and Kol Tarkula, therefore it's Mutter and Shabbos. According to Rabbi Yehuda, Dover Shani Miskaven is also in Kol Tarkula. It's Mutter on Shabbos on a Doraisa level, but the Rabbanan want to be Mashva, they want to equate the Iser of Kol Tarkula with the Iser of Shabbos, and therefore they would prohibit it, according to Rabbi Yehuda. And this is fascinating because Rabbi Yehuda said, what happens if, for health purposes, a person would have to take a medication that would cause him to be a sars, which means that he wouldn't be capable of having children? There's certain medications, maybe Alan, you could fill us in on this. What chemical kinds of medications would affect a person's reproduction?
I mean, there are many things that are used for oncology treatments.
Really? Wow. Okay. So he's taking this for oncology treatments, but it's going to cause sirus. So the established halacha is that according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's awesome. Now, I'm not talking about pikuach nefesh now. Oncology might be pikuach nefesh, so nothing that I say is relevant. But if it wasn't a pikuach nefesh situation, it's a davar shein miskaven. He has no kavana whatsoever in making himself into a mesuros. He's interested in improving his health situation, but he's violating a law of doraisa because we're not allowed to do this. And it's a davar shein miskaven according to Rabbi Yehuda. If you have the exact similar case in Shabbos, Tosus says, Rabbi Yehuda would say, that midoraisa, it's not a violation of Shabbos, because the din mesuyam in Shabbos called Meleches Machshavos. And therefore, Dovah Shein Miskamen is not chai. Fascinating, Tosus.
It's amazing, because it's ma'akir, his whole boxes.
I didn't catch it. It's ma'akir, his whole what?
It sounds like, because the way we learn Pashtus, the Machlokas of Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yosef
Shimon.
Rabbi Shimon is that Rabbi Yehuda is the stalwart one that says, I don't care, you're chayiv anyways for it.
Well, again, Rabbi Shimon is going to go even further. Rabbi Shimon is going to say that in Kol Tor Kula Dov Shemim is coming is mutter, therefore even on Shabbos is
right,
mutter.
Right.
But the reason why Rabbi Shimon would say it's mutter on Shabbos is based on the universal halach of Dov Shein Miskaven.
Right.
Rabbi Yehuda doesn't have that luxury. He doesn't have the universal definition of Dov Shein Miskaven, because he holds Dov Shein Miskaven is chayav kol tarkula. And therefore in Shabbos he can only apply the specific unique halacha of Dov Shein Miskaven, the Ptur Mesuyam in Meleches Shabbos.
You mentioned earlier the case of the shatnet. The peddler who's wearing it wouldn't the clothing wouldn't be also. I'm wondering, is the Yisur of shatnet on the Gavra, not to wear
Shabbat,
or on the
Hefza,
not to be
Hashis is an Isa Levisha, which is a Maisa Gavra. So therefore the Gemara is going to say that if you didn't have Hana, you didn't have intention to benefit, you're just relocating it, that would be a Dov Shein Miskaven. His Levisha, as far as Shatnis is concerned, name is Kaven. He would be absolutely satisfied and happy if it wasn't Shatnis, but that's what he has to sell. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, holds that Dov Shein Miskaven is Chayav, he's going to be chayav. The Gemara has a whole discussion, for example, about what's called mila b'tzaras. What does that mean? If you have tzaras on any part of your body, the Torah says that you're not allowed to cut it off. You have to take it to the Kohen, and the Kohen goes, undergoes a whole process of taras hametzora. But to try to circumvent it by cutting it off is a lav d'oraisa. What happens if he has mila? He has tzaras b'makom mila. So that when the father does mila, or the boil, whoever does mila on this young child, because it's tzaras, the b'makom mila, he's violating the sort of ktzitzas b'aretz, which is a lav d'oraisa. So the Gemara says, but it's einu miskaven. He doesn't have kavana to remove the tzaras. He wants to remove the arla b'toras mitzvahs mila. So it should depend upon the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. According to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that Dov Shein Miskaven is chayav, we're talking about now an Iser of Ktzitzas Baharis, it's not a Shabbos Iser, it applies the whole week long, then this is awesome. If you hold like Rabbi Shimon, then it's going to be mutter. What happens in the case of Mila B'tzaras on Shabbos? Now what we have here is the mitzvah of Mila on Shabbos. But the question is he allowed to violate the Iser of Ketzitzas Baheres? So if you're like Rav Shimon, it's a Dov Shein Miskav, it's simple. But if you're like Rav Yehuda, then you're violating that Iser. So are you going to say that since the Torah was Matir Mila, the Torah is Matir also Ketzitzas Baheres? Maybe there's a heter that...
Yes or no? There isn't a heter.
What do you say?
A heter is no Dov Alusas.
So the Gemara wants to know, why did the Torah have to tell me Esei Dochalosas in this case? Why don't you say it's a Dov Shein Miskav and he has no kavanah for Ketzitzas Baheres? And that's where the Gemara goes into issues about segregation, which we're not going to do now. But
right.
So also, I'll give you another example of Din Kloli, Din Mesuyim in Shabbos. There's Halach of Misasik. Misasik is Potter in Shabbos. Now here's the sheet of Shmuel. Shmuel's sheet of Masechta Krisus Yutes is the following: that if he wanted to eat this chalev and instead he ate that chalev, he's chayv. That's not called Misasik. If he thought it was Shuman and it was Heter and instead he ate chalev, that's called Misasik. But if both are Shuman, I'm sorry, both are chalev, and he wanted to take the one on the right but accidentally took the one on the left, he's chayv. On Shabbos, says Shmuel, if he has two fruits that are attached to the ground, one is black and one is white, let's say, so he wanted to pick up the white ones and pluck it out of the ground, it's called Melechas Kotzer, and instead he plucked out the black ones instead of the white ones, he's Potter. Why? Because in Shabbos there's a new halacha called Melechas Machshavos, and there's a unique definition of Misasik. Misasik means that he got the wrong object. If he got the wrong object, even though both objects entail a violation of Melech HaShabbos, he's Potter. Beautiful example of a din misuya. Another example, Chatzi Shir. We say that Chatzi Shir also b'kol ator kula. That's how we pass like Rabbi Yochanan in Masechta Yoma. So therefore, what's going to be on Shabbos if a person, let's say, carries Chatzi Shir, Melechas Hotzah. For example, the Shir of Melechas Hotzah is a Grogeres, and he carries a Chatzi Grogeres. So we should say and apply the principle of Chatzi Shir Asur Min HaTorah. Or, for example, a man bakes a Chatzi Grogeres of a dough instead of baking a full Grogeres. So we should apply the principle of Chatzi Shir Asur Min HaTorah. Comes along the Rashbam, the Yenikel of Rashi in Masechta Bava Basra Nunvav, and he says, no, here there's no din of Chatzi Shir Asur Min HaTorah. Why? Because Melechas Machshavos Asur Min HaTorah. And unless you complete the Shir and you've done a full Grogeres, it's not a Melechas Machshavos. And therefore you're going to be potter not only according to Reish Lakish, I mean to say, who holds that Chatzi Shir Butter Min HaTorah, but even according to Rabbi Yochanan, who says Chatzi Shir Asur Min HaTorah. Here Rabbi Yochanan would agree, because of the power of the Din Mesuyim of Melechas Machshavos, that he's going to be potter if he does it with Chatzi Shir, because that's not considered Melechas Machshavos. We're lacking in the Chashimus of the Melacha. It's interesting, yesterday we spoke about Achila Bahanos Grono without Hanos Me'ayim. And we said that even though according to Rabbi Yochanan in Kol Tor Kula you'd be chayev for Hanos Grono, but on Yom Kippur you wouldn't be chayev without the Din Mesuyim in Yom Kippur, because as Inu you're not chayev without Hanos Me'ayim. So there's a case where the Din Mesuyim generates a p'tur, correct? That on Yom Kippur, for Hanas Grono, Rabbi Yochanan is going to admit that you're potter because he didn't have Hanas Me'ayim. Here in Shabbos again, Rabbi Yochanan is going to agree that there's a unique p'tur in Shabbos. Chatzi Shir is awesome in a Torah, but says the Rashbam, not with regard to Shabbos. A unique p'tur of Melechas Machshavos.
Why is that? Because just because you're potter for Din Shabbos, why aren't you over on the Yisr anyway? In other words,
Now you're raising a different question. We had a different hakira about Chatzi Shir, whether or not it's an Issa Kloli or it's
right,
an Issa
Mesuyim.
Right. We're assuming now that Chatzi Shir is only Osir B'Toras Issa Mesuyim. So, for example, if you eat a half a Zayas of the Veil, you chai Fishum the Veil. If you eat a half a Zayas of Chelev, you chai Fishum Chelev. And if you violate Shabbos with the Chatzi Shir, then you're in violation of Melechas Shabbos. But since there's halacha, says Rashbam, melechas machsheves, therefore chatzis shir is not considered a melacha. Now there is a case, Rabosai, where everybody would agree that the Rashbam is correct, and that's called akira below hanocha, or hanocha below akira. You know, melechas hotzah, you have to do three things. Number one, you have to pick it up, and that's called akira. Number two, you have to carry it into a different shus. Number three, you have to put it down, which is called hanocha. He did the akira, and I'll grant you that he did even the avaras reshus, but he didn't do the hanocha. Or vice versa. He did the akiras reshus and the hanocha, but he never did the akira. Everybody would agree in that case that it's mutter. Again, mutter, I don't mean with the rabbanan. Why? I would have to chatzis shir. The answer is that's a qualitative chatzis shir. That means chatzis shir to set up the melacha. And in Shabbos, the melacha has to be melachas makshevas, which means that I picked it up here in Rosh Hashanah, I put it down here in Rosh Hashanah, and vice versa. That he didn't do. He didn't begin and end the melacha. So in melacha Shabbos, it's critical that the melacha be done with absolute kavana as opposed to misasek. So even though he got confused between a black one and a white one, that's not absolute kavana. Number two, according to Rav Shimon, you need the kavana of the tzorach that it was done in the Mishkan. Number three, even according to Rav Yehuda, who holds that I don't care about kavana kol Torah kula, he has to admit that he cares a lot about kavana and Shabbos. That's a din mesuyam based on meleches machshavos and Shabbos. And the kavana and the way you do the melach becomes so critical in Hilchas Shabbos. That's because of the din mesuyam of meleches. Now, before I mention to you, what about shalom kedark? And I told you that if he writes with his left hand, he's potter in Shabbos. So the Sokhet Shov, as I mentioned earlier, asked the question, but Shalom Kedarka is a universal principle. It's not a Shabbos principle. Haraya, if you eat chalev in a very unusual way, you're potter. Says the Sokhet Shov, it all depends on mais and totsas hamais, meaning that if you implement an unusual kind of maisa, but it doesn't impact on the result of the maisa, then in kol tarkula you'd be chayav. In the cases where shalom kedarka kicks in as a ptur, like for example, if he eats chalev chai, it's not because he put the chalev into his mouth with his left hand. That would not make it into shalom kedarka, but the entire achila qualitatively is a second-rate chakira, a second-rate achila at best. Maybe it's in a third rate achila because he's eating very hot stuff or raw stuff. Who would enjoy achila in that way? Says the Sokhachov, if you make a shinu in a way that it impacts on the nif'al means on the final result in a qualitative way, then you potter kol tarkul. The chiddush of Shabbos is that he wrote with his left hand and he fooled you. He showed you his writings and you thought he wrote it with his right hand. Your pot. Why? Because in Shabbos is a unique halacha that forget about the totsah. Shalom kedarka, the totsah, which is qualitative, is a universal halacha. Here, the totsah is identical. You can fool the person. But the maisa, the action itself, was shalom kedarka. And that's a brand new halacha in Hilchas Shabbos. That's a unique Shabbos halacha. Rabosai, we'll end a little bit prematurely. Again, I apologize. I got to go off to this appointment. To have an appointment with this doctor is... I'm waiting already months for this. He operated on my eyes years ago, about 12 years ago. He did laser surgery. His name is Levingen. I think I was already his 6,000th patient. 12 years ago.
6,000 eye or 6,000?
Yeah, I don't know if it's eye, like one eye or two eyes. So you can understand how difficult it is. This man is very, so I want to get there on time. So I'm going to end here. Okay then?